In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Several things capture my attention about the gospel for this Sunday. I am especially drawn by the images of light and darkness. In one particularly yucky memory, I remember going to visit an elderly retired teacher in Memphis and finding that her apartment was overrun with cockroaches. I was supposed to pick up a couple of stacks of old newspapers that she saved and take them to the communications committee of the Teachers Association. I don't know which was worse. The thought of her living in that infested place, or the fact that I had to pick up and carry next to me a stack of papers and put them in the trunk of my car until I could get somewhere to dispose of them. So, it may not be what John intended, but when he talks about people scurrying away from the light to hide in the darkness, it always reminds me of the nasty nature of cockroaches and their ability to stay hidden in the dark and then swarm out the minute that the light goes off. I thought about that idea of the people who live in darkness, not just being a dark place where they are contained, but able to come out into the nighttime to chip away at the darkness that the people of light have been building up. The image of people seeing the light and loving the light as opposed to the darkness is all too clear. Remembering that John referred to Jesus as the light that has come into the world is important for those of us who want to follow the path that he has illuminated. It's just an interesting trivia thing that this passage comes from the middle of a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, a Pharisee who had broken ranks with the Jewish leaders in order to visit Jesus in the middle of the night to explore his teachings. From this conversation, we probably get the most famous passage from the whole Bible, John 3:16. It's so well known that for a long time you'd see homemade banners that said only John 3:16 somewhere in the stadium at every football game you'd watch on TV. You'd also see it hung from highway overpass bridges and other places where the coded message could be displayed. It always seemed to me that it was a negative message. It seemed to say, some of us have been saved and we know what this means, but the rest of you are out of luck. That sort of fits with the mindset of folks who confront others and demand to know if they have been saved. As usual, I have a very different way of understanding the words of the gospel. My understanding fits with my favorite translation of the Bible. It's called The Message. And here's how that version presents John 3:16 through 18. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. In other words, God's act of sending his Son to us was not done to shame us or to separate those who are pious from those who are unworthy. Jesus came to share our world and our experience of life and death with us so that we would have a path to follow. Going back to the image of dark and light, Jesus showed up with a mag light so that he could help us walk in the light with him. Now, some fundamentalist churches have glued together their particular idea of being born again in John 3:16 as the only way of gaining salvation. But that isn't necessarily so. Paul and Silas said only that you must believe in Christ. And Paul also says that we are saved by grace. That's nothing we do in response to seeing John 3:16 on a banner somewhere. And salvation doesn't necessarily mean anything about being born or even about dying. Salvation requires us to recognize our place in God's world and recognize that everyone in this world is made in the image of God and is just as much a beloved child of God as you are. Learning how to live together in the light of Christ is important to our whole creation. By the grace of God, we have been given more than we could ever hope for. And living into the beauty and majesty of creation is what matters. Of course, we all want to go to heaven. But the point that I want to leave with you today is that this isn't just about how to someday, at the end of your life, get to the kingdom of God. I think the passage is all about how to have the abundant life that God desires for us right now, in this life. This is a passage about living in the light of God, so that the creepy, crawly things that go bump in the night don't threaten to overcome you. God loves this world, not just a little, not like this, but as the children would say, he loves us this way. much. And he loves us whether we want him to or not. Whether we feel like we deserve it, whether we have earned his love or not. All we have to do is respond to his love. And Jesus has sent his Son with his flashlight to show us exactly how to do that. Amen.